Yeah, I think it would be hard forever. I did it for like a year and a half, and there was days I wanted to quit, but I just looked ahead to the future and saw things that I could do to make things different. And, you know, I got a job and then a place to live, and I went to a job interview today. You know, it's like, maybe I'll get a different job, maybe I won't, who knows. But yeah, I really love the life I have today.
You said you kind of realized you had, you know, things you could be doing. That's not the direct quote, but what are some of those things? What have you been doing the past 4 years, Steve?
Oh, working, and I go to a lot of concerts. Me and my girlfriend enjoy music, so we go to concerts 2-3 times a year and spend a lot of time in the park. You know, I got a dog today. When I was homeless, people told me quite often I should get a dog, and I'm like, nope, can't take care of myself, so why would I want a dog, you know? But I have a little dog today, and she's wonderful, and, you know, that's really about it. Just hang out at home and spend time in the park, go to concerts. And
what would you say to other folks that are in that similar situation, 15 years homeless, you know, addicted to drugs and alcohol? I think it was drugs as well, correct? I mean, what would you say to them to lift them up or give them some advice?
Anything's possible if you want it bad enough. It takes a lot of work, but if you want it, the work is well worth it.
Thank you, Stephen Miller.
Guillermo Mash welcoming you to the February 28th edition of the Without a Roof radio program. Huge shout out, Steve Miller. You're moving into the fifth year now, Steve. Day one. Good time to say, Without a Roof, man, Google as we come right to the top. We have a major YouTube, Facebook, Tumblr presence, and we're easy to find, and we have a lot of important and enlightening content. Speaking of content, I want to create one right now. We got a lot of ground to cover. We interviewed some folks outside the JC, Jesus Center, talking about the Jesus Center move and their experiences. We've got the past mayor, Mary Flynn, talking about hospitality in public spaces. We have a really neat interview with Dave Phillips on the plaza regarding some of the work that he does administering food and sustenance and friendship, along with Friends on the Streets, Robert Jones and Patrick Newman. And gosh, I just want folks to remember this. We must hold dear that homelessness exists within a perpetual state of mental health anguish, varying by degree and effect, person to person and day to day. Equally important is the mental and physical anguish frontline workers and Samaritans deal with administering remedies to poverty, the worst form of violence. All right, I've got a quick interview here with Mary Flynn, formerly Mary Goloff, Chico City Mayor, Chico City Council member for a few terms back, a few years back. And she's going to be talking about hospitality in public spaces.
You know, I was involved way back almost 20 years ago now in founding the Torrey Shelter, forming the nonprofit and building the shelter. So I've always had a heart for this work. You know, when I finished my tenure on council, I kind of backed away from anything in the public eye. I just think I just needed to rest. But I'm finding myself searching for a way to give back to my community again. And I became aware of Patrick's efforts on Sunday in the park, and I was really drawn to the grassroots nature of it and the simplicity. So a friend and I have gone a few times. I haven't been, you know, a whole bunch of times, but I've appreciated what Patrick's doing so much. And, you know, generally what I've done is swing by a grocery store, and my thing was I just bought, you know, a bunch of bananas, 20 pounds of bananas, and showed up at the park on Sunday at noon and shared those with folks. And last week when I was there, I ran into Linda Furr, who I've known for many, many years.
Yeah, I love Linda.
Activist in the community. Yeah. And she has organized a group of people who are making soup and bringing soup, you know, to the park to share. And so, you know, I went over and I said, oh, I want in on this. How can I help? And so I'm going to start helping her with that.
Maybe just a little bit around the reaction of the folks that get the soup. I mean, sometimes we forget to talk about the wonderful reactions of people that are, you know, we're helping in public space.
Well, it's genuine, you know, gratitude and pleasure. And, you know, sometimes, Bill, I feel like, or I know from experience, that folks that find themselves in that situation, they become ostracized and marginalized in so many ways. And it's really nice to be able to go down and go into those situations and connect with people and, you know, have an opportunity to look people in the eye, you know, and acknowledge them and feel that human connection. And I know it's appreciated. It's appreciated. You know, people are genuine. I mean, I don't think of a gift of a banana as being a golden gift. But
yeah, bananas are a good thing. Bananas and socks, and everyone wants likes bananas and socks.
Potassium and warmth, you know.
I'm glad you've been able to fit me in on your lunch hour, Mary.
Yeah,
any quick closing comments?
No, I think just that, you know, when I first became involved in this work, somebody who was dear to me reminded me that, you know, the greatest measure of a community is how we treat those among us who have the least. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to think that as Chicoans, we can rise to that challenge. You know, and I see that's what Patrick's doing. And I'm really honored to be part of it.
Guillermo Mash here on the Plaza with David Phillips. Welcome to KZFR, David Phillips.
Thank you.
Now, before we get started, I'm having David Phillips out here. He's with Justice for Desmond and his son. It's coming up on the one-year anniversary. His son was gunned down on a mental health call at his home on St. Patrick's Day 2017. But I have David here to respond to a Chico First post, a comment by one of the members of Chico First. But this is how it goes, and then we're going to turn it over to David. Last month, while sitting in the plaza at lunchtime, I saw a white pickup truck pull up and park at the plaza. Immediately, every single homeless person ran over to it and they were handed a packaged lunch. I assume this happens on a regular basis because they recognize the trucks. Was this a volunteer doing it on their own or a local organization? I was already irritated because the only place to sit in the plaza was a table right next to a huge group of young homeless who were smoking, swearing, and talking about shooting cops. So seeing them have a personal meal delivery service kind of ticked me off. These people were perfectly capable of walking to the Jesus Center for a meal, so I don't understand catering to them to such an extent that they never have to leave the plaza. What would you respond to?
That's what we're fighting for right now. We're trying to get people to stop stereotyping and stop judging people. If you would just take a minute of your time and just perhaps talk to someone that's homeless. A lot of people down here that's homeless, they have mental issues. They just have a bad time, a hard luck, you know, and don't judge them. Don't just automatically, oh, they can go down to the Jesus Center, this and that, man. A lot of people down here need help. And as a Christian, I'm going to help. I'm going to continue to help. Desmond started this program, Father and Son, Feeding the Homeless, every Sunday after church. And I'm continuing to do that. I know I'm making Desmond happy. I know I'm making God happy. And I'm just trying to make a difference in a community.
Speaking of God, isn't Sunday a day of rest? Isn't it nice that these folks can get a little bit of a respite from running around town? And of course, on Sunday, the Jesus Center isn't open for lunch for folks that don't really know the issue. How would you respond to that? And maybe a little bit of backstory on how your son, Desmond, God rest his soul, how he used to be involved in this.
Exactly. They have a meal. We're providing a meal for them on Sunday, not letting them go hungry. As you said, the Jesus Center is not open on Sunday. We're providing some type of meal, some type of something, some type of hope for these people. Desmond, I love you, son. Rest in peace. He started this with me, and I feel so good about doing it. I feel like I'm helping in some sort of way. I'm making Desmond happy again, and as well as God. And I'm going to continue to do it. You know, it's the right thing to do. Don't turn your back on people. Don't just judge them. Try to help. Try to find a solution to this problem.
I think God is not the exact verse, but as you see the poor, there you see me, huh?
Exactly.
Thank you, David Phillips.
You're welcome.
Next up is Laura Kutsuna, Executive Director of the Jesus Center, and with about a minute little excerpt from the Peace and Social Justice Show a week or two ago, and it relates to change and how people view the Jesus Center moving, with follow-on responses by myself, actually, and Robert Jones and Patrick Newman from Friends on the Street.
And so I realize that change is really hard. And although it's not a formidable enemy, change, fear of change, it does change how people talk and think about a project of this magnitude. It turns out that people are committed to having us on this actual corner. I'm very excited about what we're doing here on this corner and how we might grow and change that so we could have a greater impact on the folks we serve. We as an entity aren't wed to this 1297 Park Avenue property. So, but some people really are. And it's kind of like when your childhood home gets sold. I don't know if you've had this experience.
Oh, yes, I have.
You know, three of my siblings thought this was the end of their world. Now, needless to say, they'd been out of the house for 25 years, but it didn't matter.
Right.
And two of us, it meant nothing. And so it just like, oh, okay, okay, mom and dad, you're going to move. So I think some people are very place-oriented and then just change in general. So that's one, and it's kind of it's coming out in all sorts of interesting ways.
I'm down here at the plaza here on Tuesday afternoon, the 27th of February, with Robert Jones and Patrick Newman from Chico Friends on the Street, who have had a program here that I really love. They come down here and they friend and help folks, and they give them a small little meal every Sunday so that they feel connected to the community. So welcome to KZFR, Robert Jones.
Hey, Bill Bash, good to be here.
And Patrick Newman.
Thanks, Bill. Good to be here.
So we just listened to that Laura Kutsuna clip from the Peace and Social Justice Show with Jesse Kearns a few weeks ago, where she was equating the moving of the JC and the challenges, or, you know, I agree or disagree, to a sibling rivalry, which I really didn't agree with. I don't see it as a sibling rivalry. I see it as people that are out here neighboring and friending and helping people on the streets, understanding that it's really important to have a place like the Jesus Center where you can go not only for food but to gather and to be able to share some space with one another. What would you add to that, Patrick Newman from Chico Friends on the Streets?
Well, it's a complicated issue, but the city just finalized the memorandum of understanding between the Jesus Center and the city, moving toward a relocation of the Jesus Center to a site further from the downtown. And that's a really complicated issue, but the way I look at it is that the more services we have in more places, the more we're integrating people on the streets into our community rather than excluding them. And there's a pretty strong drive to want, you know, in the direction of trying to exclude them. So to me, relocating that facility on Park Avenue where people are now getting food and clothing is not only about relocating the facility, it's about relocating people. And that's really the drive behind it, if you get into the, you know, where Sean Morgan's going with his community court and all that.
Well, I think to characterize those of us who are not in favor of closing the Jesus Center, to characterize that as some kind of sentimentality or being too sentimental and having these kinds of emotional attachments to the Jesus Center, that to me is borders on offensive, because I've deliberated about it. I've considered the possibilities of keeping the Jesus Center, closing the Jesus Center, moving the Jesus Center. My opposition to closing the Jesus Center is not based on sentiment. It's based on wanting to keep what the Jesus Center represents as a place for our fellow citizens to go to, as a kind of a soup kitchen, as a place of gathering. Those reasons are not based on sentiment. They're based on wanting to keep people here in the public space in the downtown area.
And it's also based on someone that's out here, you know, neighboring and helping people directly, which we don't do nearly enough of. I mean, all these different task forces and things in town, they always kind of talk around the whole issue of outreach, but they never allocate any funds to actually physically come out here and do outreach. And if you look at any place that's been successful, they have successful outreach programs. And I see what you guys are doing as amazing outreach work. What would you say to that, Patrick Newman?
Well, literally 5,000 sandwiches we've made now in the last 2 years of being out here. The point of it all has been to affirm people's right to be in the public space, that once we accept that we've failed to house people and that looks like what's going to be happening in the foreseeable future. So we're short 500,000 to 1 million affordable housing units in the United States right now, coast to coast. As long as that's happening, then there will be people who fall below the line and are going to be on our streets. And then, so Friends on the Street is about how they're treated while they're there, that we accept that failure's happened, that they're walking the streets. Do they have a raincoat? Do they have a sleeping bag? Are they being continually harassed by the police? Are they being arrested? Do they have restroom access? So all those things are all tied together with trying to be here, offer something that people need, but also, as importantly, or maybe more importantly, to make a statement to the city and to our fellow citizens that we are willing to stand with them in this space and affirm their right to be in the public space, because that is, in fact, the only space they have left available to them. And to suggest anything else is to suggest that they somehow disappear. And that's not humane, and it's not just, and it's not anything that I want to be a part of.
You know, one thing I'd like to add to the conversation, because I provide meals out here and help people, you know, mostly on a weekly basis. But I was out here for 4 straight months, you know, providing a meal. I was giving away a half a ton of food a month, and we did all sorts of artwork. But the reason I'm bringing all that up is it was a very, quote-unquote, well-behaved group. They understood that they were there, and being part of this was being part of the Poor People's Palooza. But we had, I can't even remember having an incident. you know, literally it was kind of self-managed. So I get I get moderately to very upset when I see people trying to color this whole thing as, you know, a bunch of rowdies showing up, shooting heroin, crawling over and getting food. That's BS. I have a stronger word, but I'll just use the abbreviation. What would you say to that, Robert?
First of all, criminalizing the homeless is what this amounts to. Criminalizing sleeping, criminalizing camping. So, secondly, as far as crime goes, I would say that our homeless brothers and sisters here on the streets, the rate of them as victims of crime is much higher than the rate of, say, housed persons of crime, victims of crime. And the other thing I wanted to say, Bill, is that I think framing the narrative in Chico as having the homeless problem, I think it's important to recognize there is a homeless problem. For some people, the homeless problem is that there are homeless people amongst us. But the real homeless problem is that there are fellow citizens, there are fellow Americans here who are unhoused. The problem is not that they're in our community. They need to be in our community. The problem is that they have nowhere to sleep. They have nowhere to use the restroom. They have nowhere to seek shelter. That's the problem.
Closing comments, Patrick?
What people call quality of life crimes are acts of necessity on the part of people who are desperate. And when you conflate crime together with the day-to-day activities of people sleeping, public urination, leaving a cart unattended, when you conflate those two things together and make it all crime, what you've done is you've just criminalized people's lives, people who are desperate. So that all needs to be undone. And the whole direction of moving, you know, centralizing services in one spot, to me, is a way of trying to reverse integration. It's a way of trying to sequester people and remove them from our community, because we're not comfortable with seeing the results of 40 or 50 years of Reaganomics and what we've done to people in terms of wealth distribution and social services. Like Ed Mayer says, let's keep them out here where we can see them so that we know and embrace them in our community, so that we're not in denial. We're not pushing the symptoms away when we have deep social problems we're not addressing.
Thanks, guys. The Without a Roof radio program made possible by generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Chico Paper Company, a family-owned cornerstone of downtown Chico for over 40 years at 4th and Broadway. Chico Paper Company features an on-site custom framing studio and art gallery showing the largest selection of local and regional artists. Chico Paper Company can be reached by calling 891-0900 or at chicopapercompany.com. Bill Mash out here. I'm with my friend Cheryl, and it's always fun for the TV audience. Every time I ask Cheryl her name and she says her name, she smiles, so she's smiling. Welcome to KZFR, Cheryl.
Yes, hey. I'd say for the most part, you know, it's like they do a lot of good things here, even though you do have some Bible-based hypocrisy among two of the people, particularly find to be rather homophobic. Or I should just say LGBTQ phobic would be a better word for it. And as well as to some extent, you know, I kind of feel like that factors into the way I'm treated. But most of all, you know, okay, I do own up to saying some hateful things about some of my family on Facebook, posting to Facebook on my phone, but not that that had anything to do with other people.
How did that affect your experience here? Your personal Facebook posts affected how they treated you here? Why don't you explain a little bit?
I was like instantly blackballed, and things got worse as far as the LGBTQ phobia around here. There's always been a certain group that's always taken on it to calling me faggot and saying things about, you know, oral sex having nothing to do with my lifestyle, and I'm not even gay. I'm transgender, and in fact, I was always attracted to women, but things never worked out. So, you know, I never really knew why I was attracted to a butch lesbian at age 21, as I remember, in Westport, Connecticut. Anyway, it's like, so that has nothing to do, and it kind of hurts. It just kind of like puts me on the edge of suicide sometimes, you know. It's a bad thing to say, but I've got enough problems, and I am working through the Gender Health Center in Sacramento, so sometimes I do kind of keep that idea open, you know. Think, well, I don't like big metropolitan areas, but hey, I think to myself, Natomas or Davis.
What do you think about the Jesus Center moving to the outskirts of town here in a year or so, or two?
I do have to agree with a woman that was known as Texas in the homeless community when she said the homeless concentration camp. That sounds about right, like having it all out there, like out of sight, out of mind, factored into my able to get my car running. It's been about 6 weeks and I've had like two different mechanics, one that's strong-armed his way into things. And
what's the matter with your car? I know a mechanic that might be able to help that I can, I know I trust, so that means you should be able to trust. You will be able to trust. What's the matter with your car?
Oh, yes. I just need the serpentine belt and someone to check the front end. That was already done. And let's see, the brakes. Finish the brakes.
You know, I'm here with Kenny, a friend of mine. I've known him a long time here in Chico. And, you know, I was just asking about the Jesus Center moving to the other end of town. And what did you say?
I don't know if it's positive. I heard a lot of negativity about it because they're kind of like turning it into a Jesus Center, like a jail, you know? And that's not good, you know?
Yeah, that isn't
people,
good.
Homeless need help, you know, wherever they can get it from. And this is turning into a, I don't know, a three-ring circus. And it's just not good.
And help is friending people, man.
Yeah.
You know, I've known you, Kenny. I've seen you at your best, at your worst, or whatever, you know, and I'm like, It's Kenny's Kenny, man. Talk to Kenny. What would you say, Ron, you know, just being present for people?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here. I got a lot of knowledge of Native stuff, but, you know, this doesn't go along with it. They call themselves the Jesus Center, but, you know, I'm starting to call it the Evil Center.
That pertains to what's going on here. What's changed here that makes you call it evil?
It's a lot.
What's changed?
I don't know, everything.
They have security guards. They're starting to check people in.
Doing that. I don't know. I got to leave this area. I got to go back to my reservation is what I need to go do.
Yeah.
You know, go take care of myself. You know, here I'm living on the streets. They deny you food here. They deny you showers. They deny you clothing, clean clothes. I don't know what's going on with this. I've never been around an organization like this. You know, it's weird.
Grace of God, hospitality.
Yeah.
So it's changed a lot in 4 years?
Yes, whole lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm here outside the Jesus Center. Actually, I took a beautiful picture for you, you and Christmas. You were reading a book. Would you like us to know your name?
Robert Campanelli.
Robert, wonderful to have you on the radio. I'll ask you the question just like I did. What do you think about the Jesus Center shutting down all their services and moving to Silver Dollar Fairground area?
Can't wait.
Why is that?
Need more space. Angry neighbors. Since the neighbors seem to dictate the program and the routine at the Jesus Center, we are being ordered every day, do this, don't do that. Change of schedule, upsetting a lot of the people who depend on certain things at certain times. Mm-hmm. We need more space, plenty of space, and we need some storage.
Yeah, you sure do. You got this bicycle that's got stuff that's like all over it. So if you were able to go someplace and have someplace to store your stuff and not be hassled, that seems like a good deal to you. Is that a good summary?
Absolutely. How am I going to go ask for work with a backpack and a sleeping bag? I don't look too good. I don't need a tuxedo or a suit and tie, but I should look a little bit like I'm ready for the job. Mm-hmm. Okay?
I'm sharing space with my friend Tina, a.k.a. Little Miss Chico, down here at the Jesus Center, last day of February 2018. And we're here to ask folks that are out here on the sidewalks, you know, what they think about the Jesus Center shutting down all of their downtown services and moving them to the outskirts of town by the Silver Dollar Fairground. Welcome to KZFR, Tina.
Good morning. What I think about it, it sucks big time.
Why does it suck big time?
Well, how are we supposed to get out there with no bus passes, no money, no nothing?
What if you could get out there?
Then you have to go by their rules.
What kind of rules?
Well, I missed the appointment. Their rules, they change every day. The good Lord never set rules on people not being able to use their services, like me. I'm sitting out here freezing to death, and the good Lord sent me some breakfast this morning.
Yeah, I see you're cupping that coffee pretty hard.
Yeah, it's warm in my tummy.
How many miles do you think you go a day? A lot of people think being, you know, houseless is such a great, wonderful experience. But, you know, as someone that's done that gig, I used to walk like 5 miles a day just to get hither and yon. What do you think of that?
I think that sucks. A little exercise is good, but to find shelter and a place to sleep, we should be able to be okay and not tormented day after day.
Tormented? How are you tormented, Tina?
Well, kicked by Chico police or the AGP security, and then our stuff thrown away, and then off to Oroville, and booking we go.
All right, thanks, Tina. Jack, it's my friend Jack. I wanted to get some insight on you, what you think about the Jesus Center shutting down all their downtown services and moving to the outskirts of town. What do you think about that, Jack?
It seems like they want to keep their clients kind of like out on the outskirts of downtown, further away.
Why do you think that is?
Because it's a residential neighborhood, and they think it's like crime comes along with the clientele.
How much harder do you think that'll make it on people that are disabled, or, you know, all the other things that people deal with, all of their stuff? You know, how do you think it's going to impact them having to go all the way across town?
Well, it might make it easier because it's closer to a work training center.
The Animal Mash signing off for the KZFR Without a Roof radio program. Next up and in the studio, Non-Human Radio. And until next week, 5 p.m., remember, always, if you have a roof, be grateful.
The Animal Mash here, host of the Without a Roof radio program, which kicks off a trifecta of KZFR Wednesday public affairs programming, airing from 5 to 5:30.
Each week we explore poverty, the worst form of violence, focusing on human beings without a roof. Thanks for listening, and if you have a roof, be grateful. Non-Human Radio, hosted by Jeannie Trezino, talks all things animal rights, bringing you the latest news and interviews with local activists.
Plus book, film, and restaurant reviews and deep discussions of the benefits of veganism.
For humans and non-humans alike, Wednesdays from 5:30 till 6 p.m. The Real Issue, hosted by Sue Hildebrand, digs into topics ranging from elections to environmental protection.
From social justice to economic justice, from the local to the global.
We cover the political part of everything. Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. Thanks for listening to
Beat the Power Radio.
Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the local, seasonal, and organic delights at Farmstar Pizza, where the farmer is the star. Farmstar features artisan pizzas, salads, appetizers, and desserts with vegan, oh yes, lovely vegan and gluten-free offerings, craft beer, and eclectic wines. Farmstar Pizza is open Monday through Friday for lunch, noon on Saturday and Sunday, and they're open for dinner 7 nights a week with live music on Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. They're located at 2359 The Esplanade. Visit farmstarpizza.com or like them on Facebook. And we're also made possible by Hodges Nursery and Gifts on the Midway in Durham. Hodges Nursery covers 5 acres with a full-service nursery growing a wide variety of landscape plants and trees for the home gardener. Hodges Nursery is located at 9681 on the Midway, offering vegetable starts and over 200 varieties of fruit and citrus trees. More information can be had by calling 894-6598, and you can sign up for their gardening e-newsletter or by visiting hodgesnursery.com. This is KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Welcome to the February 28th, 2018 episode of Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico and streaming online at kzfr.org. You can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino.
And I'm Danny Toms. Today we'll be talking about raccoons. Little bandits, trash pandas, robber raccoons, which, by the way, was my favorite childhood book when I was just a little radio commentator. Are they adorable and charming, or are they a threat? We'll look to WildCare, a wildlife rehabilitation center in Marin County, for their take on this intelligent and omnipresent creature. Jeannie, tell us about raccoons.
Thanks, Danny. As our weather progresses into spring, with a little hiccup this week,